The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
I don't know if it's selfish or if it's just I'm over it or what, but I have been saying Maranatha a lot. You know, just come quickly, Lord Jesus. At the same time, I've been watching the news less. I've been reading the news less because it's just, I don't know, I'm informed. I understand the things that are taking place, but at the same time, what I've been doing more of is I've just been doing more of reading through the pages of Scripture. I know that I encourage you a lot to spend time in the Word, and I encourage you, you really need to do it more. You know that verse, it says that we should gather together even more as we see the day approaching. We should actually be in the Word more as we see the day approaching too. The reality is that darkness is increasing and God's not unaware about it. That's why we have the light for His children, and it's a wonderful thing. I was in Missouri when I was a kid, and we were in this cave. I can't remember the cave, but you literally couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. And the guide was quite awake. He was quiet. He told us he was going to walk away from us, and he apparently knew the way, but he got a ways away, and he just had a match, and he lit a match. And as he lit the match, our eyes became adjusted better and adjusted better and adjusted better. And that's really what the Word of God does for us. It really helps us to adjust what we see. It helps us adjust our hearts for what we should be understanding. I have no idea when Jesus is going to come exactly. But I know that from the way I read the pages of Scriptures, that what little is we're going through now is like the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be a lot of stuff. And if we're not really where we need to be, it really is not going to take a lot to knock us off course. Jesus so many times says, in the latter days, will I find faith upon the earth? Really, will I? And so I've been seeing a lot of those things about if you decide to go your own way, good luck with that. If you go your own way, you're going to end up where your own way leads, and that is not where you need to be, not in this place where God has an opportunity to bless your life. Doesn't mean to say that we're going to get in places and walk through things because we need to, so that we can, God just gives us some clarity to truth. I think sometimes in my own life, in my heart, I've been wayward. And during them times of waywardness, I struggled with stuff and thoughts and emotions that I thought I would never have. And the Lord would speak to me and said, Tracy, that's how that works. When you drift this way, that's how that works. But the beauty about Christ with us to speak to us, to help us, and bring clarity to our hearts about those things. I'm grateful that, God just doesn't let me get away with stuff. I'm glad that I have unrest. I'm glad that I have lack of peace. I'm glad that my life just starts free-falling and tumbling into stuff. I hate it, but I'm glad for it because it causes me to be very aware of some truth in my life that I need to live this life the way that He has asked me to live it. And if I do, there'll be blessing in that pathway. When I determine to go outside of that, life, my attitude stinks. The way that I think stinks. The way that I respond to people, it just is, it stinks. So we should be grateful for those types of things. Amen? Listen, I want us to take a quick look. How many of you are glad that in my podcast we're only like 10 or 15, 20 minutes? How many are glad about that? Yeah. So this morning is not going to be really any different. I am not here to talk longer. So I want to take a quick look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, that verse in particular. Paul speaking to his young protege, Timothy. He says, guard the good deposit, 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So Paul is writing Timothy just to encourage him in his ministry in Ephesus while he's in prison in Rome, and he is awaiting his anticipated expected execution. So you have that in the back of your mind while he's talking. He's knowing the time is short, so he's wanting Timothy. He's really getting to it with Timothy. He knows this is the last time he's going to be able to write to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in chapter 1, in brief, basically, he's encouraging Timothy to hold fast to God's truth in the face of false teaching, personal difficulty, and opposition to the gospel. And he says to him, look, Timothy, God has called us, as Paul's putting him with it, God has called us to live a holy life. And it's not just anything that we have done. So look, we're here and we're part of this and we didn't choose this. God chose us. God called us. We responded to that call. And he has done it according to his own purposes and grace. So God had this intention that he had for you, for me. He's got this plan and we're a part of what God is doing. And God is going to help us to do what we need to do with what he's wanting us to do. You need to understand that. And so Paul just encourages him in several ways in the first chapter here. The first one is to trust what God has deposited in your life. The second thing he says is you need to guard what God has deposited in your life. You need to share what God has deposited in your life, and you need to example what God has deposited in your life. So when you read in 2 Timothy, you start in chapter 1, you read this, here's some big pieces that I just see in there, some simple things that Paul's trying to communicate to Timothy, and he's going, look, God has deposited this grace in our life. And he says it's in you just like is it in me. I got this very same, you have the very, probably put it this way more than anything, Timothy, here's Paul the Apostle sharing with Timothy. He says, look, you've got the very same thing that I have. And God, you need to understand that God put it in there. And because God put it in there, you just really need to trust it. You need to guard it. You need to share it. And you need to example it out. You need to live this out. So this deposit that he says, he said it is a good. It is a good deposit. So this is a good thing that God has put in your life. And sometimes you wonder because that good thing that God has put in your life seems to run against everything else that you see in life. So in some ways, it just makes life difficult in that everybody, the majority of the world around you thinks differently, lives differently, and looks at life differently. But Paul's telling Timothy, look, what he put in your life, it's a good thing that he's put in your life. It's a good deposit. And this good deposit is the truth and the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is in you. This gift that God has given you, it's a good thing. So protect it, guard it, watch it, defend it. And the reason is because in this life, you will have trials and tribulations that will arise. And many who once held to it won't hold on to it any longer, and those that never have will resist it even more. I was thinking that, you know, people walk away from the truth most often when they don't trust it. People walk away from it or let go of it most often when they don't trust it. And Paul's understanding this necessity of understanding what's been given to us in our life and who gave it so that we'll know that He's faithful and that what He's given us is good and that what He's given us we can trust. Even when we don't understand. In my life as a believer, I have let go of a lot of things, not walked in a lot of directions, and just turned my back against a lot of things, not because I didn't understand it all, but because I trusted what God was saying to me in my life. So this is what He's wanting out of me. This is the direction He's wanting me to go, so I'm just not going to do that. You know, the great claim of Christianity isn't that it's a religion, but it is the truth. Christianity isn't this is a religion. It's truth. It is the way things really are. And I know that there's a lot of people that just speak very differently than that, but I'm telling you what, right now, if God ever lifted the eyes of humanity to see the truth, to see spiritually what is the reality spiritually, see, because as Christian life is really the way life really is. And a lot of people say, well, you know, what's going on in the world is because of da-da-da-da-da-da. What's going on in the world is because of fight against light and darkness. That's the reality. The reality is that when you go the direction you want to go and your life turns sideways, it's because if you could see it in your mind's eye as you were on a good path and you chose to walk in a different direction and walk, you chose to walk directly into what opposes God and you're reaping the rewards of that. So, and here's the beauty about that is we all do it and we've all done it. To get to the place to go, okay, that doesn't, all right, thank you. That doesn't work. And really, I faced all those things and the difficulties and the hard knocks that I faced really helped me see that if I continue to go that direction, there's no good thing there and I need to get back. And really, that's a grace of God. That's a faithfulness of God that He, think about this. How many times in your life have you just thumbed your nose at God after being a believer? And He loved you. He loved you because you didn't understand, because you didn't see. And so sometimes He allows you to go in places and directions and face and struggle with those difficulties of life and you fall into the lap of the enemy. And let me just say something about that. The devil never fights fair. He's the guy that's when you know, there's the guy and they're going, okay, let's handle this like men. You know, and they throw down their guns and their knives and their weapons. But you know, the bad guy, he cheats. He always cheats. There's no honor. So he's always the guy that takes dirt and throws it in your face, or he's always the guy that gets something from the crowd that you don't have to fight against you because he fights dirty. He never fights fair. So we should never wonder why when we go to try to wander in that direction, we get our tush kicked. See, the marks of the Christian, the remarks of the character of the Christian faith is really about explaining life the way that it really is. And Timothy is here, and Paul's telling him, look, Timothy, you just need to guard this truth is in you, but this is a qualifier. You need to guard it through the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You are not going to do this on your own. You're going to need the Spirit of God in your life because it's not merely the words for us. It's not merely the words of Scripture that make it powerful. Rather, it is the presence of the Spirit enlightening those words. See, the Holy Spirit illuminates God's truth to us. It brings it home to our hearts and in our lives. He helps us see truth. The Spirit of God does that. The Holy Spirit makes these words living words, powerful words, penetrating words. Words that help enlighten our minds and that pierce our heart, words that produce a profound change in our attitudes and behaviors. The Holy Spirit, it's the Word of God, is the Word of God, and it is God's Word without error given to man, but it is the Spirit of God that makes this book a living Word. And it transforms us. It makes this Word to transform us into who we are. It's a powerful force that's in our life. I was studying and came across a quote by Charles Spurgeon talking about the Word of God and talking about defending the Word of God. And he said this about the Word of God. He said, "The Scripture is like a lion." So whoever heard of defending a lion, just turn it loose and it'll defend itself. I got thinking about that, and here's a truth about that. He doesn't say that the Word of God never needs defended. He doesn't even say that, you know, if you think about it, it's not that a lion doesn't need defended either. There's poachers all over. Africa's got people defending, you know what I'm saying? But the reality is the best way to defend a lion is just to turn it loose and it'll defend itself. So I got to thinking about that because so many times the Word of God, people have proclaimed the Word of God to me and they didn't give any explanation for it, but the Spirit of God just spoke to me, brought it home to my life. So what we need to understand as believers is we just need to turn the Word of God loose. Sometimes you just proclaim it. Do you have to give all the explanations and all the answers? Man, I'll tell you what, sometimes I just heard a phrase that was the Word of God and it shifted the way I thought because the Spirit of God brought home to my life. I was thinking about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, the Word of God is living, powerful, and active. It penetrates our lives. It cuts through what we can't to help us see who we are and who He is, exposes, it sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. See, it exposes us. It is something you cannot run from and something that we will be accountable to, the Word of God. So Paul tells Timothy, guard it, trust it, share it, and example it. Now, the interesting thing about when Paul's writing this and things in Asia are just, they're not good. There's persecution going on against the Christians. People are running from the truth, abandoning the truth, following the culture that is around them. And so Paul starts in chapter 2, verse 1. He gives Timothy this second admonition. He says this, "You then, Timothy," and it's emphatic. In the Greek, it's emphatic. Now, you then, because of all this, "you then, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So Paul says, look, Timothy, the first thing to do when things are falling apart around you is for you to be strong yourself. And I think really that's a fundamental truth, fundamental principle when we think about helping someone else. I mean, how are you going to pass on something to someone else that you don't have yourself? You can only pass on to others what you yourself have learned and received. If we're just passing on head knowledge, it's of little value. If you merely pass on a truth, a knowledge of the truth, teaching people the various doctrines of Christianity, you've probably done little to help them. I'm not saying it's without value. But let me say this, unless they can see that that truth has changed you, unless they can tell that that truth has made a difference in your life, unless they can see that you are living that truth, and because you have been living that truth, that has made the difference in your life. See, because for me, if I'm going to share with someone about marriage, and I don't have it down, if I don't understand, if I've been a fool, if I haven't been obedient to Jesus, if I haven't been loving my wife, if I haven't been humbled, if I don't understand that we're in a one-flesh relationship, that I need to prefer her above myself, if I haven't been doing that, I just need to shut my mouth. Because I will do no good in telling someone else something else. Because eventually what will happen is they'll see it in my life and that will be a hypocritic a hypocritical statement from me. Don't talk to me. You don't even live it. But let me just tell you something. Paul's letting Timothy know, listen, if you know what you have, if you know what is in you and who is in you, and if you know the enablement that you have in your life, when you share that, that will make a difference. Remember he tells Timothy, he says, hey, don't despise your youth. Don't let people look down on you because it has nothing to do with age, but everything to do with you applying what you know to be true and trusting God to help you to live that out. See, that's really Christian maturity. I have, over the years, found too many that have been way my seniors that have not been living it out, and their voice was just wah, 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 wah. And it almost turned me sideways to where I just wanted to walk away. But thank God there were some faithful men and women who believed it, who trusted it, who understood where it come from and faithfully lived it. So, if we speak out of the experience that we've been changed by, even if we help people understand the struggle of how we got there, that is what's going to help, and that's what's going to help others. So Paul said, you know what? To help someone else out stand in their hour of difficulty, why don't you stand first? See, the best way to guard what is in you and example it out is to be strengthened by it, the grace that is in Jesus. It's not about us trying better or doing harder. It's you trusting Christ more. It's you being strengthened by what God has put in your life, which we need to understand comes from Him. It's not going to be our human effort. So we need to take these actions based on the knowledge we have, and that is that we humble ourselves before the Lord and He will lift us up. It's God working in our life. That's really authentic Christianity. It's dependence upon Jesus. And you know, when I think about that, that is supernatural. Your being helped by God is just a, we kind of think supernatural that I'm going to stand here and float up in the air and I'm going to glow. No, supernatural is not natural. It is living life past yourself. And we only live life past ourselves because of Christ who is in us. See, natural strength, I think, is the greatest enemy of the gospel. Me trying to do this myself. Living this life out will not be accomplished by our human effort, by the grace of God that is enough. And I've said it so many times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where Paul spoke to the Corinthians and he said, you know, Jesus spoke to me about what was going on in my life, and he said, Paul, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in the midst of your weakness. And he said, you know what? Once I heard that, I just quit focusing on my handicap. I began appreciating the gift. And it was a case of Christ moving in on my weakness, helping me be strong where I'm weak, helping me see where I can't, helping me understand what I don't. So here's my admonition to you today. If you're wanting someone else around you to be strong in the faith, well, get there yourself. But get there the way you need to get there, by through the grace of God that is in you. If you want others to be able to be pure in their life, well, do it yourself. Get there yourself first. If you want someone to be able to love and to forgive and to show mercy, well, then I would just admonish you. Why don't you get there first yourself? Let Jesus become what Jesus can become, wants to become, and will become in your life if you allow Him. See, because Paul said it was a grace of Jesus Christ being strengthened by the Spirit that is in us, how we get there. So, if you can't demonstrate what that looks like in your own life, I don't think you're going to be that helpful to others. Paul even made comment to Timothy. He said, here's what I want you to do, Timothy. What you have seen and heard and learned from me, I want you to practice and apply and pass on. I think that the culture that we're living in, it's very easy to see that we would only be a generation away from apostasy if we don't pass on, if we're not a part of faithfully finding this for ourselves, understanding it, trusting it, depending on it, sharing it, protecting it, we're just a generation away. See, we need to pass on what we've learned and experienced that God has helped us see. Parents to your children, elders of the younger, leaders of those who follow, faithful men and women. We just have far too many that are turning away from the faith. I got friends of mine that I never thought for a moment would be in the place that they are now in their life. And it's somewhere they failed to trust what God had put in their life and what God had spoken to them. They failed to trust God's word. So again, let me just end with this. Trust what God has put in your life. And guard what God has put in your life. And share what God has put in your life. Example what God has put in your life. You be strong and you be helped by the Spirit who is in you as you do it. That's how this works. It was interesting to me that on Friday I was talking to a bunch of the guys, and I said to them about, I misquoted, I said, hey, read 2 Timothy 1:12, or 1 Timothy 1:12, and I meant 2 Timothy 1:12, and they read it, and I went, oh, wow, how powerful is that? In Paul's first letter to Timothy, this is what he said to him, and this whole thing has reiterated that. He said this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly, just like you, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. All that has been given to us. So we need to understand that good thing that God has dropped in our life, because as we continue to march through time, this is what's going to make a difference for you where you are and for to be a help to those around you where you are. God bless.